Let's take our Bibles today, if you will, and turn to the Old Testament, to the book of Psalms. If you'll find your place in the Old Testament, Psalm chapter 18. If you came to church and you forgot your Bible or you don't have one, there's pew Bibles there in front of you. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. And so take a pew Bible if you need one, and if you don't have a Bible or you need one at home, take that pew Bible and keep it as a gift from our church family to you. I think it's always good to have a Bible that you can read every day and stay in the Word of God. It helps you to grow as a Christian, and you should feast upon His Word. It gives us guidance and direction and strength and help and encouragement. And I think especially you're always looking for something in the Bible that is exactly what you need for that particular day and that particular time. I don't know about you, but I often find on many days the book of Psalms is a great place to go. Because you can see so many things that can apply to our lives. And we see that right here in Psalm chapter 18, written by David. And the book of Psalms was the praise book of Israel. It was the prayer and praise book of the nation of Israel. And as they were here upon the earth. And so we see a lot of truth here in this. We see a lot of human experiences that they went through in Psalms that we can relate to. We also find there's a lot of emotions, a lot of desires, a lot of sufferings of the people of God by the circumstances through which they lived. I down through this last several weeks, I think we've been blessed in a lot of ways to be able to go through what we've gone through here recently and to come out on the other side. I told Nita, I said, I feel guilty in a way. I said, so many people are suffering and hurting, and yet God has brought us through this, and on the other end, I think even stronger and better than before. So we find here in Psalms, if I was to put a title here on this particular chapter, I'd just put it, Living Real Life in a Real World. Living real life in a real world. The world we live in is not a perfect world by no means. There's struggles along the way. There's things that happen along the way. There's pandemics along the way. There's other things that come along through here. And so what we want to focus on here in the Psalms is to take a look at some things I think will be an encouragement. And you cannot deny the pain sometimes that people go through living here on this earth. And sometimes the struggle really becomes real. And David lays it out very clear and very plain. And even through the struggles, even during these times, even during the times of pandemics, we are to live as God's people joyfully and cheerfully in the Lord's work. And that we do have much to be thankful for. And all cycles of human troubles and triumphs provide and gives you and I occasions that we can express. You can get up every day and you can find something to complain about. Or the glass is half empty. Or you can get up and find something good to be thankful for, and the glass is half full. So which is it, you know? I think you can look around even in the worst of times and still find things to be thankful for. And that's what David did here. David found things that gave him confidence and prayers and praises to the Lord. And so the Psalms gives us a wide range of that here and some things that we want to take a look at. So we see here in the Psalm the sovereignty of God is everywhere recognized, but not at the expense of genuine human responsibility. And I would even say today, I don't know about you, but doctrinally, theologically, I strongly believe in the sovereignty of God, that things happen for a plan and a purpose. There are no accidents with the Lord. This pandemic did not catch God by surprise. And what you're seeing here is the sovereignty of God is still real and still in place, and God is still on the throne. And that you say, well, if He is still on the throne, then why does He allow things like this to happen? And I don't know about you, but I've been studying a lot over in the Chronicles and 1 Kings and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, and I see over there that when Israel, the nation of God, when they moved towards the Lord and they went away from evil and they walked with God, that God blessed them. And when they walked away from the Lord and when they disobeyed God and when they turned their back on Him, then guess what? Wicked kings prevailed, trouble came, pestilence came, famines came, and God allowed and permitted things to happen. Oh, that God would use this to bring us all back to Him and a relationship with Him and strengthen our relationship with God and to realize we do have much to be thankful for, but God requires that we live in obedience to Him. And so life sometimes, if you're, you know, I'm sure for many felt like it was out of control. You know, I don't know, some people like to have more control over a situation. Sometimes things happen where you don't have any control. And to realize, and yet all the events and situation understood in the light of divine providence as being right on course according to God's timetable. I've literally had people say, are we at the end of the age? Are we at the end of times? Is God coming back? Well, we know He's coming back and there's perilous days and we're living in challenging times. I don't know when He's coming. We need to know. We need to be prepared. It might be today, might be tomorrow. We need to be ready when He does come. And to realize when you look here in the Psalms, it's written by many different authors, but here in this Psalm we're going to see is written by King David. So let's take a look at it, if you will. And obviously Psalms is the largest book of the Bible, and the purpose of Psalms I gave to you is praise and worship of a holy God. So look what David says here. He says in Psalm 18, verse 1, David says here, I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God and my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, David said, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress, David says, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and He heard my voice out of the temple, and my cry came before Him, even into His ears. Then the earth shook and trembled, the foundation also of the hills moved and were shaken because He was wroth. And there went up a smoke out of His nostrils, and the fire out of His mouth devoured coals were kindled by it. And He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under His feet. And He rode upon a cherub and did fly, and yea, did fly upon the wings of the wind. And He made darkness His secret place. His pavilion round about Him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. And as the brightness that was before Him, the thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. And the Lord also thundered in the heavens. And the highest gave His voice, hailstones and coals of fire. And yea, He sent out of His arrows and scattered them. And He shot out lightnings and discomfited them. And then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at Thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of Thy nostrils. He sent from above, He took me, and He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. David said in verse 18, they prevented me in the day of my calamity, and the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because He was delighted in me. And the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath He recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. And for all His judgments were before me, and I did not put away His statutes from me. I was also upright before Him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. And therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands and His eyesight. And with a merciful Thou wilt show Thyself merciful, and with an upright man Thou wilt show Thyself upright. And with the pure Thou wilt show Thyself pure, and with the froward Thou wilt show Thyself froward. For Thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks, and for Thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness, for by Thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, verse 30, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. And for who is God save the Lord? Or who is the rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like the hand's feet and setteth me upon the high places. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of Thy salvation. Thy right hand hath holden me up, and Thy gentleness hath made me great. And Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, and that my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are now fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with the strength unto the battle, and thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. David said in verse 40, thou hast also given me the necks of my enemies that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord. But he answered them not. And then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. Thou didst deliver me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen, and a people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me, and the strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from my enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me, and thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed in David and to his seed forevermore. Here was a man, the Bible says about this man, David, that wrote these very words, said that David was a man after God's own heart. And yet I look at a man like David who wrote these words, very powerful words in chapter 18, and realize David by far was not a perfect man. David had lusted after a woman and took Bathsheba and committed adultery, and then devised a scheme and sent Bathsheba's husband Uriah out into the hottest battles in the battlefront to have him killed, thus committing murder so that he could take Bathsheba as his wife. David paid for that sin. I've had people say to me, well, do you think David's in heaven? I think this, if David's not in heaven, I don't think there's a chance for any of us to get there. So my answer is yes, David's in heaven. Yes, David was a man after God's own heart. Was he a perfect man? Absolutely not. But we find here this psalm of thanksgiving that David writes. This is clearly an individual psalm that David wrote of thanksgiving. It has poetry in it. It has themes of great deliverances in it. It has things in here that he praises a holy God in. So in our journeys through life, in our experiences in life, in the good times and in the bad and the struggles of life, we should take advice from King David here that we can praise his holy name and never give up on God. Every once in a while, I'll run into somebody that will not be in church, and I'm trying to encourage him to get back in church, go to church, whatever. And they said, well, Pastor, I will when I'm ready. I'm just not ready yet. And I said, well, look, maybe you gave up on going to church, but don't give up on God. Don't give up on him. Don't give up on your worship on him. I really struggle, though, with the part. If you really want to worship God and be a part of God's work and God's plan, and that you'll find your way to a local New Testament church and to worship him with God's people. And so in here, David opens this psalm with praises to God. And then David gives different things. And did you notice that? The different stages of his life. Just like we all have different stages of our lives. We go through chapters in our life and events, and things happen and things occur. We find David here. We find in verse 4 to verse 19, he's in a pit of peril. He's got enemies. He's got struggles along the way. Verse 4 and 5, he kind of paints a picture, David does, of being desperate. And then he kind of, in verse 6 to verse 15, his defender is God, that God comes to his rescue and defends David and helps David in his greatest need, in his greatest hour. And then his deliverance, we know, comes from God. We see in verse 20 to 28 his integrity. We see the principles of the Lord's direction in David's life in verse 20 to verse 26. We see here a time of turbulent even leadership with him. The king prior to David was Saul. And Saul set out to kill David and to have him slain out of jealousy. Saul was the people's choice for a king. David was God's choice for a king. God's hand of blessing was upon David. And so there in his latter life, David was being sought after by King Saul, try to kill him. And then David even found himself in a situation where he could have easily killed King Saul. And he chose not to do so, and not to raise his hand against God's anointed. And we see in David his military leadership. We see in David his leadership overall. We see David closes out the chapter here by praising God. And by all means, that's what you and I should do, is to praise the Lord. We have much to be thankful for. So we need to lift our voices just like David and praise him and be thankful to him. And no matter where we're at in life and what we're going through in life, we can always find things that we can worship God and praise his name and lift his name on high. You notice in verse 1, he starts right out, I will love thee. Let me ask you today, who do you love the most? It should be God Almighty. Your relationship should be so strong with him. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And you should have, your greatest love should be that which you have between you and your Creator God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's interesting when you look, this is not a normal word for love here that often bears a covenant meaning, but is a rare verb in verse 1 that forms an expression here of tender intimacy in David's relationship between he and God. David loved God and had that intimate, close, personal connection, that relationship. Oh, that we all should desire that. David's choice of words intended to express a very strong devotion to God, a very intimate, strong relationship to him. Your greatest, strongest love relationship should always be to your Heavenly Father, to the Lord Jesus Christ. God reigns supreme above everything else. Yes, that even takes supremacy over our spouses and our children and our family. God should be number one. David reflected that. John says in John chapter 21, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my lambs. And then he goes on to say in verse 16 of that great chapter in John 21, he saith unto him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my sheep. And then in verse 17, he says the third time. And he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him three times, and on the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. And so Peter had that unique relationship. Peter loved the Lord. And nobody more dedicated than Peter. When you think about Peter in the New Testament, you think about David in the Old Testament, that loved God more than those two individuals. We find in verse 2 of Psalm 18 here, you look at the military. Do you notice the military metaphors that was placed here by David? David had a military background. It talks about this rock and a fortress and a deliverer and God and my strength and buckler and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, both defensively and offensively. The Lord was all David needed in life's toughest battles. Good reminder. In life's toughest battles, what you and I need is God. What you and I need is the Lord. That's what David did. The horn is a symbol of power. Mary said the same thing over in Luke chapter 1 and verse 47, and simply that, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Look in verse 3. David says there, David called upon the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. And so shall I be saved from my enemies. He goes on to talk about in verse 4 the sorrows of death, and Jonah saw this in Jonah chapter 2. Yes, the sorrows of death. Death becomes very real. By the way, pray for Nita Bombeck. She's not here today, one of our church family. And Nita's sister-in-law, Roberta Bennett, passed away, her brother's wife. And so that funeral will be upcoming. So, you know, life goes right on. Death goes right on. Death brings sorrow along the way. But our hope is in Jesus Christ. And like David said here, he is our fortress. He is our rock. He's our deliverer. He's our God. He is my strength. So he uses these military metaphors here in this part of Scripture. You know, sometimes you look at it in verse 6. Sometimes we wait until we're distressed to call out to God. David did that. He said, look in verse 6, in my distress I called upon the Lord. What does that simply mean? You know, in your difficulties, call upon the Lord. In your distress, call upon the Lord. When things get tough and get hard and you're in that deepest, darkest valley, it's time to call on the Lord. David did so. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. David said here, and God heard David when he called. You know, you look in verse 7 to verse 15 here in the Bible, it's called a theophany. It's a poetic picture of God's presence. He also displayed a theophany in other places in the Bible. But God's presence is largely described here by various catastrophic responses by all of creation. And when we see God in sheer power, exhibited to dramatically here in verse 7 to verse 15, I won't go down through that again, but is amazingly attested to the coming rescue of the psalmist and personally, and to realize, I don't know about you, but just to see God in power and strength and to realize this universe, he's got all things in control. God knows exactly what's happening. God knows exactly what's going on in the pandemic. God knows exactly what's going on right now in the rioting and the things around the country and the nation and the world. You look at this, you might say, well, we might be surprised. God's not surprised. So by this, we need to call out to him and ask God to intervene. These verses should not be taken here in verse 20 to 24 and verse 37 to verse 38. These should not be taken out of context. It would make David look like a boaster. David was not a boaster. You go on to find here, David and the community, although responsible for living with integrity within the covenant relationship that he had with God, he fully depended on the resources of God to do so. God has the resources to give and to be able to help you and I in times of our distress and the times of our struggle and the times of our challenges. In other words, if you're going to boast, boast on God. You want to boast and lift somebody up, lift up the Lord and praise his holy name. We were over studying this morning about the Pharisee and the publican. And the Pharisee, that's what the problem, you look at all the personal pronouns that he used in there, he was boasting of himself. I'm not like that publican. You know, he thought he was a little bit better in life. No, but by the grace of God, there go you and I. All that we have, all that we are, all that we do, we owe it all to God. He's on the throne. I don't know about you, but I see the grace of God in his hand. He says here in verse 31, David says, and who's a rock that can save our God. Moses, the beginning of this great song about the Lord here, talks about the rock. He's the rock of our salvation. His work is perfect, and for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, and just and right is he. The Lord Jesus has not come yet. Somebody said to me the other day, boy, if the great tribulation is that bad, I don't want to be here when it comes. What you're looking at is, you look around the world that we live in, basically the whole world come to a standstill in very short order of time over a health issue that then crushed the economies around the world. And you look at that and to realize, and I don't know about you, but I see in a lot of people's faces, both in person and on television just like you have, fear and panic written all over their face. And some still living in fear and panic today, not knowing what to do, not knowing what the future holds, not knowing where to find help and encouragement. Our hope is in God. We are not meant to live in fear and panic when God is on the throne and we can trust in him. We need to trust in him, realizing that don't live your life day by day in fear or panic or being disheartened and saying all hope is lost, all hope is, it is not lost. It is not gone. God is still God. God is still on the throne. God is still the God of David, and God is still our God today. He still reigns supreme. Amen. Don't live your life in fear and panic and realize. Now, I realize things are serious and people need to be cautious in that, but here, David trusted the Lord. If you're going to boast, boast on God. And so he says here, when you look at it, this is, when you think about the concluding verse that he gives us in Psalms, great deliverance giveth he to his king and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David and to his seed forevermore. That covenant, God tells David then to build him a house that he can dwell in. And so he goes and to do that over in 2 Samuel 7:13, and he shall build a house for thy name, and I will establish thy throne in his kingdom forever. The greatest name on all the earth is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ was of the tribe of Jesse. We know that it was through the tribe of Jesse, back through to King David, and through that lineage and that genealogy that connected the Old Testament to the New Testament that connected the Lord Jesus Christ. And so our hope today is in Jesus Christ. Our salvation today should be in Jesus Christ. Do you know Him today? Have you trusted Him today? Do you believe in Him today? And who are you hoping in and have confidence in today? Don't walk and don't live your life in fear and realizing, gee, I wonder what tomorrow holds. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds my tomorrow. And I know that I can trust God, and I know that no matter what happens tomorrow, that God is still on the throne, and I am still saved, and I can still lean on Him and trust on Him through times of death and through times of sorrow, through times of pandemics, through times of whatever's going on in your life. David simply, whatever the distress is, he doesn't really tell us what it is, but he said here, talking about, I will call upon the Lord, and talking about here in verse 6, and in my distress, I called upon Him, I cried unto my God. You know, more than anything else, God wants to have a relationship with you and I, just like David had a relationship with Him. God wants you to love Him with all your heart. God wants you to put Him first in all things. God wants you to be obedient in all things unto Him. God wants to have you and allow you to have the very best and to be the best. God wants to be your rock. God wants to be able to deliver you in times of stress. God wants to be able to you know, that father and that son relationship. He cares about everything that you're going through. Do you trust Him? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. If you can trust Him in the good times, you can trust Him in the tough times. If you can trust Him when life is living and life is fun, you ought to be able to trust Him through death's doorway and through the struggles and the challenges along the way. God is still God. We need to learn to trust Him and to have hope in Him and to realize that nothing, absolutely nothing, catches God by surprise. Oh, that we would love Him. Oh, that we would worship Him. Oh, that we would walk with Him. Oh, that He would be our rock and our buckler and all these things down here. We may not have the military background that David had, but David loved God with all his heart. And God time and time and time and time again delivered David and took care of him, just like He'll take care of you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, today we love You. God, we love You with all of our heart today. I pray that we could see through Psalm 18 today that we just need to put You first and foremost in all that we do. God, I pray today, if there's one here that's not saved, they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they've never turned to You for salvation yet, God, today, that they would make today, June the 7th, 2020, the day of their salvation. That they would believe and recognize that they're a sinner and they cannot save themselves. Like Brother Ron clearly said a while ago, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh God, I pray today if there's someone here and they're not yet saved, that they would call upon You today to be saved. And God, I pray today for the one that's maybe struggling, maybe gone through some distress, maybe living a little bit of life in turmoil or not certain about today or tomorrow or the future. God, may they find assurance today in knowing that You are God and You're on the throne and they can hope and trust and believe in You today. May we have that confidence in You like David had in You. Oh God, today, strengthen our faith. Allow us to be saved and allow us to walk in our faith and renew that faith in Jesus Christ day by day. With every head bowed and every eye closed today, as you're sitting here today, I just want to take a moment. And if you're here and you're not saved, you're not sure if you took your last breath today, if you're going to heaven, I want to try to help you with that, my friend. I just want to have a prayer with you right now, right where you sit. You don't have to raise your hand. This is a prayer between you and God, not between you and me. And just professing your faith in Jesus Christ and trusting Him for salvation today. If you've never yet done that, would you do that right now, this moment, right where you sit? And just simply pray and mean it in your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess my sin before Jesus Christ today and ask You to forgive me. And Father, I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. for my salvation. I repent of my sin. And God, I desire to be saved today for all of eternity. And I put my faith in Jesus Christ today. Amen. If you will, look up here and just today, as we think about that today, my friend, if you prayed and received Christ, let somebody know that today. You can let me, you can let somebody else know that you came to church with whatever. If you're here today and you've not yet found a church home, we'd love to have you here at First Baptist to come be a part of this church family. If you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, we can schedule that and get you baptized to follow the Lord. Whatever it is, follow the Lord. Don't live in fear and panic, and trust God. He's on the throne. He's a great God. Do you love Him today? Will you serve Him today? Will you put Him first today? Let's stand together, if you will. Brother Ron's going to lead us in a verse of invitation. If you want to come and pray on your own, you're welcome to do that. If I can be of help to you, we'd be glad to do that. One of our staff members can, but we invite you to come. Whatever God has dealt with in your heart today, you come as Brother Ron leads us today.
Come every soul, by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now.
With every head bowed and before we sing another verse, and while these are praying here, I'm going to have a word of prayer for our president, our country, our nation. I just wonder if you want to come and join me here at the altar. You don't have to if you don't want to. Just to come, and I just want to take a moment and have a word of prayer on bended knee today, just to pray for our country, pray for our cities, our governors, our mayors, all this rioting that's going on, all this loss of life that's going on. Would you join me today? Any of you, I'll just wait for a moment till those that want to come can come. Maybe you want to just sit there and you want to come down here and get on a pew, but I think we should take a moment and pray for our country, pray for our nation today, pray for our leaders today. Pray for America today. Just find a pew here at the front or a seat, whatever works. I want to give a microphone to Brother Jim Monroe. Let me get this turned on. There's the power. It says it's on. Be on, Larry. Red? Get the other one. Brother Jim, would you lead us in prayer? And I'll close in prayer today, if you would.
Father, we come with heavy hearts, knowing that this country needs you so bad, and the evil that is before us, as we see on the TV every day, this action that's going on against this country. Lord, we pray right now that you would be with our president as he tries to lead us back to you in the right way, that we might be able to stop this corruption that's going on. Lord, we do know that you are the God that can control this world, and we know that you know and are aware of everything that's going on. We pray right now for each of the city's governors, the problems that are going on in each city. We know this is a turmoil that personally we can't stop, but it's up to you, Lord, that you might ease their hearts, let them realize that they are doing sinful things. Lord, we thank you for reigning on high and being able to be our God. We thank you we can put our trust in you and know that we have salvation and that we're going to be with you someday. Lord, we don't know that day, but we look forward to being with you and spending eternity with you. Lord, just guide and direct this country and our president and vice president and those that have some godly authorities or godly values with their lives, that we might be able to see this ending and this rioting. Lord, thank you once again for who you are and what you mean to each one of us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Heavenly Father God, we love you today, and I thank you for each and every person that's in your house of worship today. Thank you they've come to obey you and to listen to you, and may the Holy Spirit guide and direct in each life represented here. And God, it's our desire to come and to surrender all to you and to put you first and to worship you as our Creator God. And Father, to call upon your holy name, first of all, to confess our sin and to ask you to forgive us and where we've fallen short and missed the mark. And so, God, today we're human, and yet in that humanness, God, we desire forgiveness, and we just ask that you would, as a holy God, accept us into your presence and forgive us. And so, God, we call upon you today as being our God, the one that can control all things, that we surrender this country, this nation to you. We pray that it would return to its Christian values, the Bible and the Word of God, and to prayer and to the things that made this country great, God, that we can return to those principles and values. God, I pray for our president today. I pray your hand of safety will be upon him. Give him wisdom. I pray for our vice president, for our congressional leaders, for our governors, for our mayors of the cities around the United States. God, that you would give them and allow them to make wise decisions and protect and keep safe the people here in America. God, I pray for those families that have lost lives through this struggle here in recent weeks. I pray the Holy Spirit would be their comforter. God, I just pray that somehow lives would be touched for the cause of Christ, and that you would see this nation coming back to you. God, I really believe your word is true, that if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God, we need a healing today, and we call upon you as we confess our sin and the church prays together, that we would see you reign together in strength and power and victory in the lives of people, both here at home and around the world. God, we love you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may return to your seats, if you will. And I appreciate you coming. Continue to pray for our country, our nation, and the leaders and the churches. Many of the churches are getting back in their places of worship around the country, and I appreciate that so much. As these are making their way back, let me just share a couple things with you as far as dates goes. July the 12th, you can be seated just for a moment if you want. We're going to let you go. But July the 12th, Dennis Guazdella, he was with us 2 years ago. We'll be here on that Sunday. So if you want to mark your calendar, Dennis, I went to church with Dennis years ago up in Bay City. He was a worship leader there, plays the saxophone, but he's a godly man, loves the Lord, and so he'll be here on July the 12th. I want to encourage you to be here with us for that day. It'll be a blessing. And then also, too, pray for Souls Harbor. They're going to be here with us. These were put on the calendars a long time ago, on August the 23rd. Looking forward to David and Joy and David's father being here with us. Likewise, Joy grew up in this church and I look forward to having them here and seeing them again and pray for them. We look forward. They'll be with us in Sunday school that morning and that morning worship that day, and so we do look forward to that and having Souls Harbor here. And then at the dates of the revival of September the 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th will be a revival meeting here. That's Sam and Sue Husser from Louisiana. They will be here for that meeting. And then helping that week also will be Tom, Brother Alan, Tim, Tom. Todd. I knew it started with a T. And Todd Allen, Todd Michelle, they'll be here. There you go. I'll get it right. They'll be here with us those few days too, and we look forward to that. So I did ask the Sunday school hour, my class this morning, what they all thought. The corn roast is scheduled for Labor Day weekend on that Labor Day, that Sunday night. We've done it that way for many years now. Came up in a staff meeting the other day about what did people think about the idea of doing the corn roast on Saturday night before the revival to kick in the revival. And that Saturday night would be August the 12th. And if you say, well, what is a corn roast? Well, ask around. They'll let you know. But anyway, we talked about it. So my Sunday school class, they had an overwhelming thought of let's do it the Saturday night before revival starts rather than on Labor Day. So let me ask you this. Be honest with me. How many of you would rather have the corn roast on Saturday night about 5 o'clock to kick off the revival that week on September 12th? Raise your hand just all over the congregation.
I got two.
Okay. Put your hands down. How many would rather keep it on Labor Day? Okay. You concur with the Sunday school class and what they did, so we'll plan on that in the calendar. We'll do the corn roast on Saturday night at 5 o'clock on September the 12th, and that'll lead us into the revival meeting. Sam and Sue Husser will be here. The Allens will be here. It'll be a great day, and pray that corn should be good this year. So we look forward to it. Oh, did I say August? It's September. September, not August. If it's August, you'll be the only one here. So the corn should be coming in good. September. Revival September 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th. And the corn roast will be on September the 12th, the Saturday night before this year. Let's stand together. Good to see you. Church tonight at 6 o'clock. I encourage you to come back in the evening service and praise the Lord for his goodness. Oh, by the way, with the coronavirus, we're not shaking hands at the door, so stick your right arm out. Here's your handshake. There you go. Everybody be safe. I don't know about you, but I'll be glad when all this is over. But in the meantime, we want you to be safe and be careful. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. God, we thank you for these thy people today, and thank you for the music and Brother Ron and praise team and our hearts and worship today. Thank you for Psalm 18. God, may we love you more and more each day, and we do pray for our country and our nation. Much to pray for, much to be thankful for, and thank you for being our God and our Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week. Good to see you.